Technorama episode 353 for September 12th, Unicorns, Peppermints, and Dark Matter.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Excuse me, sir. The security cam caught you shoplifting. Please follow me.
Where?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for September 12, 2012. This is a show that takes a letter to look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm still having DC withdrawal.
He's way over there.
Yeah. Chuck's practicing the rule of thirds with the webcam tonight.
This is the absent Obama. I mean, absent Julie. We'll interview her.
Will you please address the chair?
Julie is not here. She is off to school, doing very well in her first week of sophomore year. First week of second year, something like that. And she asked how things are going so far. So I gave her a quick rundown of the week. And we'll have more of that a little later. But until then, coming up in this episode, we have, really loud, turkeys solve the mystery of the universe, a cross between Batman and Supergirl, and jeans, none of that and more, coming up right after this.
So, Ghost infected Frank. He passed it on to the other guys, and I got it from his corpse?
Right.
Hello, Echo. How are you feeling?
Did I fall asleep?
For a little while.
Previously on Heroes.
You had to go and be the detective, didn't you, Matt?
I'm not an aggressive person, but...
Ugh, man, there's just way too much on all these channels.
Things, but only in-game.
Everybody lives, Rose. Just this once! In your dreams, Nutloaf!
Bite my shiny metal hat.
Sometimes I get visions.
Walter, what are you doing?
Watch and learn.
I wish there was some way to find out what's really worth watching.
There is.
What? Who? What was that?
Tuning into Sci-Fi TV is the viewer's guide to genre television.
Where is that coming from?
With its spoiler-free quick reviews and water cooler and the spoiler-filled in-depth back porch discussions, Tuning into Sci-Fi TV is the only resource fans need to know what's on, what's good, and what's coming soon in science fiction and fantasy television.
How did you get into my house?
Join Kevin, Wendy, and Brent each week for the latest in genre television.
I'm calling the police.
You can find Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV at tuningintosci-fi-tv.com.
No, seriously. How did you get into my house?
Hey, every week we do Technorama live on the air on Google Plus Hangouts. We want you to join us there on Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time or whatever that is in your part of the world. Looking at the chat room, we have Captain Rootbeer. We have you and me. NCAF has joined us again. NCAF 1, more appropriately. What happened to the original NCAF? There's NCAF and NCAF 1. Or is there NCAF 2.0? We have GRU, Null Operations, Tim Elliott, and ZML2008 all joining us. We'd love to see your name up there on the chat room. You can throw your comments in there, answer some of our questions, and tell us we're wrong like most people do.
That happens. And they will.
And they will.
Yeah.
Looking at the Technorama birthday calendar, we have not done this in a while because we had a couple weeks off before DragonCon, and now that we're back, we're going to catch up. So, happy birthday on August 22nd to two people, Zoidberg.
Wait,
hooray, what? It's my birthday. He's apparently now 35. I don't know where that came from, but Kyle Slingo is also on the 22nd. August 25th, David Grizzly Smith from Grizzly Growls Podcast. Hey, pretty cool that he's pimping his own podcast. Let's get a little podcast appreciation bell in there. There we go. Apparently, August 27th is Chuck's forgotten iPod.
How do you know that?
I guess I forgot. I must have put this in years ago when I got my first one or something, which was like 2002.
But 2002.
I know how many iPods I've had, and I don't remember that August 27th was one of the first. But anyway,
maybe your iPod actually went in and put it in itself.
Artificial intelligence. It's scary. Skynet's taking over. The robots are running the wiki.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Also on August 27th, Mike Noble. August 30th, Maximilian Bjørnstad from Stockholm, Sweden. Hope I got that at least close.
I loved him when he was in the movie The Black Hole.
Yeah. We'll go with that. August 31st, Tim Downing from the High Potency Music Podcast. Oh, another podcast. Give him the bell. Anthony Oh, we skipped over one. September 5th, Ben Vaughn, who is a regular in our chat room and a thankful regular contributor to the Technorama tip jar. Thank you very much. Susie Murph, a.k.a. Susie the Geek from How to Grow Your Geek Podcast. Going to wear out the bell tonight. Is on September 6th.
Oh, crap. We didn't give her a card.
We could sing her the song.
Say it's your birthday.
That's not. That's a better gift.
Okay. Yeah.
September 10th, Anthony Warnock, East Bay Ant. September 14th, we're now into the actual dates for this coming week. September 14th, Andrew Peters, a.k.a. Pearl Hacker from the UK. I am heading over there in a few days. September 18th, Jeff Schultz, a.k.a. Gorbash. So a lot of these names are familiar from the chat room. We'd love to see you there again. As I mentioned, Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern time. Join us, chuckchat.com/technorama or chuckchat.com/webcam. We'll get you directly there. It's even more fun. If you want to get your name on the birthday calendar and you're not on there right now, well, happy birthday to you anyway, regardless. If you're listening and your birthday's coming up, happy birthday. Otherwise, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki and put your name on there, and we'll give you a shout-out at the appropriate time of year. Hope to see you there.
We hope to.
You good with that? Is that a deal?
I'm good with that. Oh, right. Yep.
I'd buy that for a dollar. On this day in history for September 12, 2012. This is the 256th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 110 days left in 2012. It was on this date in 1609 that Henry Hudson begins his exploration of the Hudson River. How did they name it after him before he got there? Well, aboard the Halvmand.
And also this day in 1940, cave paintings were discovered in Lascaux, France.
Hey, let's go get some.
Let's go get some.
Strange occurrences, including monster sightings, take place in Flatwoods, West Virginia, on this date in 1952.
And it was September 12th, 1958, that Jack Kirby demonstrates the first integrated circuit.
Jack Kilby. Oh, you get a C
Kilby,
on your electronics.
I was thinking Kirby, our comic book artist.
No, he's the guy who invented the vacuums. Today in 1959 saw the premiere of Bonanza, the first regularly scheduled TV presented in color.
And the very same date, the Soviet Union launches a large rocket, Lunik 2, to the moon.
No, not to the moon. It says at the moon. I like that. It says they launched Lunik 2 at the moon.
What the heck? Just blow it up.
48 years ago, Canyonlands National Park is designated as a national park.
Oh, that's my cue. And it was today in 1966 that NASA Gemini 11, the penultimate mission of NASA's Gemini program and the current human altitude record holder, launches today.
20 years ago today, NASA launches Space Shuttle Endeavour STS-47, which marked the, you guessed it, 50th shuttle mission. Don't ask me how they count these things. On board are Mae Carol Jemison, the first African-American woman in space, Mamoru Mori, the first Japanese citizen to fly in a U.S. spaceship, and Mark Lee and Jan Davis, the first married couple in space. Hey, baby, want to join the 30-mile high club?
And today in 2005, Hong Kong Disneyland opens in Penny's Bay, Lantau Island, Hong Kong. There you go.
Happy birthday goes out in this day to French astronomer Guillaume Le Gentil, born today in 1725.
And also born today in 1885, German photographer Heinrich Hoffmann.
French physicist and recipient of the Nobel Prize in Chemistry, Irene Joliet-Curie, was born today in 1897.
And also, actress Erin Gray turned 72. Hey, baby.
I checked my math. That was right.
Wow, really?
And finally, this is the earliest date on which Programmer's Day can fall. Well, September 13th is the latest because it's a leap year. This is celebrated because it's the 256th day of the year. Yes, that's right. Russia and programmers around the world. And that's the way it was on this day in history for September 12th, 2012. That was weird. We actually got the timing right on that.
Amazing.
That never happens.
Yeah.
You may have easier editing than you think.
Yeah. Yay. Hey, by the way, I wanted to do a shout out for one of our listeners, Nicholas St. Gabriel. He's throwing a Kickstarter? No, Indiegogo page.
Indiegogo.
Yeah, him and his family are trying to raise money to adopt a Chinese baby. The Chinese adoptions are not cheap, so if you'd like to help him out, we got a link to his page in the show notes. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Yep, indiegogo.com/ouradoption. He's well on his way, but could you always use some more help and greatly appreciated. I've got a friend at Karate who's done 2 adoptions from China, and they've worked out very well. He's very happy, and I hear all the good stories about that. So good luck to that, Nick.
And by the way, it's a laborious project to do on its own, besides the money part.
Yes, it is.
So good luck to them.
And first up in the news, we have the space shuttle Endeavour is hitching a ride atop a 747 to its new home September 17th. So 5 days after this podcast is released, hopefully you catch it in time. Space shuttles Discovery and Enterprise, of course, have already settled into their new homes. And now Endeavour is scheduled to depart for its future abode at the California Science Center on September 17th. I thought they were already all in their homes, but apparently Endeavour is not.
Yeah, I thought so as well, but I guess not, because wasn't that one of the last ones that they launched? Maybe. They got that one in the queue late.
They had to strip it down.
Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, you know, you mentioned in the on this day in tech or in history about the shuttle numbering.
Yeah, why is STS-47 the 50th space mission?
Well, just a guess. I haven't done my Google foo to go find out, but I'm wondering if that includes the Enterprise mock, landing.
The gliding test? That wasn't a mission. There was no...
Writing a note is a mission to them. You know what I mean?
Anything that costs more than $3 billion, which includes toilet seats, is a mission.
Tomasi, take this down. That's a mission.
Your mission, if you choose to accept...
Tomasi STS-35.
Taking to the skies atop a modified Boeing 747, the shuttle will make its pit stops in Texas and Edwards Air Force Base in the Golden State before touching down at Los Angeles International Airport on the 20th. During the journey out west, the shuttle carrier aircraft will buzz certain cities. No pun intended.
Certain drive-thrus and pick up some burgers on the way.
Hey! There's an In-N-Out burger. Pull over.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And NASA, you know what they're going to do,
sir?
On their
Whoa.
Way? They're going to be making smart aleck comments to Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, that's right.
We did that first, NASA. Back off. Yeah.
Take it. Can I get some fries for you with that, sir? Whoa, I like your car, man.
We want to see some pictures if you are in the neighborhood and see this going over between the 17th and the 20th. Or happen to be in one of those places, we'd love to hear about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, also, we mentioned that today is Programmer's Day. It's day 256. Of course, anybody who's a programmer recognizes the significance of that, right?
Yes, that's right.
Which is, Craig?
It's a number.
I can't work like this.
I'll be in my trailer.
256 is 2 to the 8th. 8 bits. 256.
Well, what are they going to upgrade?
Well, now programming is a core subject from the first grade in Estonia. I'm moving my kids. Yeah. Oh, my kids are already out of first grade, though. My grandkids are going there.
Yeah, might be a little awkward.
Imagine a world where learning the language of computers was a fundamental subject in our education alongside mathematics, languages, and sciences.
You sound like a little Rod Serling there.
That's what I'm aiming for. Thank you. Been watching a lot of Twilight Zone the last couple weeks. Sci-Fi Channel's got
and
it on.
And he was learning the language of moisture evaporators. Sorry.
If you think about it, that is actually the world we live in today. Programming pervades almost every profession out there to some extent or another. And having a basic understanding of how software is built will benefit almost everyone. Almost everyone. Estonia agrees. And taking steps to make sure that the next generation is prepared for just that. They have launched a program called something I can't pronounce, but it looks like Projet Tiger, which involves teaching Estonian students from grade 1 through grade 12 about computer programming, in air quotes, as well as learning how to create applications for web and mobiles. This development is intended to accelerate Estonia well past other Eastern European countries in IT development, which they smartly focus on and having produced the wonder that is Skype, that was then sold to Microsoft for $8.5 billion. They have some of the fastest internet connections in the world, didn't know that, which makes it a fantastic playground for IT startups, and those need good programmers. I think this makes total good sense. And I think the U.S. should follow suit and start teaching kids programming early on as well. It's got three cute little girls look like they're driving a bug down a rainbow maze or something.
Well, I started to say, that's not programming, but they probably wrote it.
Do you remember the old turtle language where you could do turtle graphics? That was how a lot of kids...
I don't think I ever messed with it, but...
You could tell the little... cursor to go forward, then turn and use conditionals, and you could make these cool patterns on the screen, so you could do looping constructs and whatnot. It was actually pretty cool. Make pretty little flowers.
Well, actually, when you asked me about 256 earlier, I kept thinking what pops in my head is making those daggum Commodore sprites, because you had to kind of add up all the numbers and, you know, make the patterns. Yeah, you remember that? I don't know if you ever did.
No, but I remember something similar on the Apple. I think they were called shape tables. Yeah.
Well, the Apple had commands for like make a circle, make a square, you know, and then you can get.
Wait a minute.
They did in BASIC, but then you can get more detailed and start doing the mapping out the graphics. I'm just saying they had those on the Commodore. We didn't.
No, there was no circle function. Circle.
No, not on the Commodore.
Not on the Apple. No.
Yes, there was.
Not on the Apple II. Oh. In DOS 3.3. Oh, really? No, there wasn't. Here you go.
Apple II BASIC circle.
You had to roll your own, man.
Here you go. Let's see. Maybe I should just look this up later.
I'm going into the Hacks and Strange Stories. Hacks and Strange Stories! No circles included! See, even Lenny agrees with me.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, I was on Facebook Saturday and found that local listener Brad Miller, whom we saw very quickly at Dragon Con on the roadside of the parade, he's a local guy near me, used to work with him at my former job. He has created a PC out of an old television. He said he found this empty shell of a 1950s Admiral TV at a resale store. He added a 17-inch CRT monitor and a small PC, and it turns into, yes, a great conversation piece.
I guess so.
He had the perfect size strong shelves inside made of heavy-duty Bakelite.
He didn't have pictures of this up?
Yeah, he did. They're on his page. You might have to scroll down a little bit if he's posted a few times since then.
Oh. On his Facebook page?
Or maybe you can't see it because you didn't friend it.
Great.
Should be right there.
Add a friend.
really? You can't see his pictures because he didn't share it with you? Here, let me share my screen just for those at home. Screen
here,
share.
I added him. Let's wait. All right, yeah, show me.
Share selected window. All right.
No, there you go. Oh, hold on.
So he's got the Windows logo up there. Right? See that?
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. And then he turns it around and you can see it this way. He's got a little...
That cabinet is awesome.
Isn't that cool?
What kind of PC is that?
Well, there's a PC down on the bottom. I thought this was the PC up here. That's like the back of the CRT. So, he didn't really clean out the shelves very well, but maybe...
Authentic, all the way down to the dust.
And it's parked right next to the family truck. I like that.
Yeah. He should make it into a MAME cabinet.
Oh,
play some MAME games on there.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. That's pretty neat.
All right. Turn up my screen sharing. Go back to my ugly mug.
All right. So I'll give him credit for having the Zoidberg thing as his image at the top of his Facebook.
Yeah. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And cool. Apparently, there's a speaking of restorations and recoveries, there's an ongoing project to entirely restore the official Star Trek Next Generation Enterprise bridge that Paramount created in the 1990s. Wasn't this the one for the Star Trek thing at the Hilton?
No. First off, I think we did mention this other week because we were talking about the parts in his backyard sitting around.
Oh, see, I thought somebody bought the Las Vegas Hilton parts.
No, this isn't that. What this is one that Paramount had made for, it escapes me. It was like a Star Trek tour. And so it is a replica of the bridge. And they were about to destroy these parts with a guy kept on and on trying to get Paramount to let him buy it or at least haul it off. And he got it. So he's got all these parts. And I don't think I'm not sure if it's a complete set, but it's the big set pieces, and he wants to restore them.
Yeah.
And he had Michael Okuda and some other people on board to kind of help out.
Cool.
So, so I think it would be a neat project.
It is our prime directive to take what we have and restore to the closest recreation of the TV version used as possible with the help of our highly skilled group of Hollywood professionals and make it open to the public for meetings, movie showings, fundraisers, tours, filming, anything, children's parties, bar mitzvahs. You get the idea.
Yeah, we'll have to do a Technorama live from there.
Jean-Luc Picard's captain's chair is presently being refurbished and will be completed by October 2012. That's pretty cool. Please visit our Indiegogo fundraising page to purchase hats, t-shirts, mugs, mouse pads, toys, autographs, and much more. Da-da-da-da-da. It's all here in the show notes.
Replicas. Replica of the replica.
It reminds me of I was flipping channels and came across Star Trek Next Generation Relics the other night, where Scotty steps onto the holodeck and there's the bridge of the original Enterprise.
I like that one.
That was pretty cool. Some of the effects are starting to age on that show.
What, Next Generation?
Yeah.
Oh, some of the, maybe the some of the earlier, I guess the earlier half. Towards the end, they were pretty sharp.
I'm hoping they clean it up when they release the Blu-ray stuff, that it'll look a little better.
Okay. Yeah, they are. I tell you, I bought the sampler. It had like Mission of Farpoint on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so, yeah.
Season one is out now, right?
Yes, it is. But the space jellyfish looked actually pretty good.
Space jellyfish.
Well, that's what they are.
That's what they are.
No, it did look a lot cleaner, but I'm really thinking hard. I may start buying these seasons because Next Generation I would like to own.
I need my Klaxon sound effect back on the soundboard.
Yeah.
Because what I would sound if it was, it would go off right now because the robots are coming to get us. I'm convinced of it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Literally, they are.
They are. Who made this robot?
DARPA.
This is a DARPA project. They made what do they call it? The robot cheetah? Cheetah robot runs 28.3 miles per hour, a bit faster than Usain Bolt. If you've been keeping up with the Olympics.
Yeah. Well, I'm running about 6. I think, as top end. So I'm screwed.
This thing looks crazy because it just sits there and chatters and vibrates on this treadmill.
Yeah.
It's just
kind of gyrates, but it's running at the. It's funny how it starts picking up steam. And then
they need to put some steel teeth on this thing and some laser eyes, and it would really be scary.
That's well, you know what? It's not that scary because, it's not wireless yet. Once it's wireless, we're in trouble.
He can't get his mobile signal everywhere.
Yeah, it can be sentient all at once, but it's not wireless.
That's true.
Yeah.
It is on the end of that boom, isn't it?
Yeah. But, hey, remember, you seen that pack mule thing that they made, right? It looks kind of, has these same kind of legs, but you can kick it over and it kind of stumbles. It keeps on walking with a big, it can carry a pack. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Okay. So that actually came to fruition. So I'm worried about this one.
Well, if that doesn't scare you, this next one will, because...
Wait a minute, by the way.
Yeah.
I like how towards the end it kind of... It's
well,
where
I didn't
it
kind of
freezes up. Where it gets towards the end and it starts to stumble because it's going so fast. It gets up to that 28.3, and then all of a sudden it starts to... It kind of seizes up once it...
This is what Skynet's going to launch on all of the people who just try to run away.
Yeah, they won't be humanoid robots. They'll be like four-legged creatures that can run faster than we can.
Big saber-toothed cat, you know, smilodon things that are going to get you with the steel jaws. They'll tear right through your flesh.
No, they'll convert this into velociraptor replicas.
If that doesn't work, they'll launch the cockroaches. That's
no!
right. Yeah, go bring up that next picture if you want scary. A little circuit board mounted to the antennas on the back of a big old cockroach that's bigger than a U.S. quarter. Built-in power supply? Check. Ability to survive anything? Check. Easy to control? Okay. Anyone who's had a cockroach in their uninvited house as their uninvited house guest knows that you can't control them. So rather than reinventing the biological wheel with the robotic version, North Carolina State University researchers have figured out a way to remotely control the real Madagascar hissing cockroach. Those are those big ones, like 2-3 inches long.
Yeah.
They used an off-the-shelf microcontroller to tap into the roach's antenna and abdomen, then sent commands that fooled the insect into thinking danger was near or that an object was blocking it. That let the scientists wildly prod the insect into action, then guide it precisely along a curved path shown in the video that we have on there. The additional sensor could allow the insects to one day perform tasks like searching for trapped disaster victims. Well, okay. Help, help, help. I'm trapped under this earthquake rubble.
Well, that's what they do.
Oh, man, the roaches are going to eat me. The robot roaches are coming to kill me.
Well, see, that's how it works. They lull you in with a sense of purpose. Okay, we're going to make these good for saving people in rubble, but then they'll turn on us.
Right.
Yeah, it's the way it happens all the time.
As soon as the eyes go from blue to red, you're done.
Yeah. Run, unless you're being chased by that cheetah robot. Just that's lay down in the fetal position.
That's a universal thing in all robot movies, right?
Hey, wait. I got it. I know how we can defeat the robot cheetah. You just lay down, and it stumbles as it's trying to stop.
How about
they made
let
it
run,
so fast.
Get it running through a rain. Put a sprinkler up. Come on.
A garden hose.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in the media corner with a number of things you probably didn't know about the original Star Trek and several movie titles with one letter removed and many other fun things. Hang out. Stay here.
Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Come here. You looking for some action, bub? Oh, don't pretend like you ain't. I spotted you a mile away. What'd you like? Action? You mean like car chases and shootouts and frightened dames and the like? Oh, that's easy, mister. You want the Masked Marauder Matinee. Yeah, you heard me. The Masked Marauder Matinee. They're a podcast. Check them out at MaskMarauderMatinee.com or over at iTunes. You won't be sorry. Tell them Roxy sent you.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Did you understand that? I guess the alien host thing.
What language was that? French?
The alien host is taking over. In the media corner! Trying to speak. We have 10 things you probably didn't know about the original Star Trek original series. We're not going to go through all of these, but I thought I'd pick out some of my favorites. Pick out three, Craig.
Okay, first off, Mr. Spock's skin color was originally a different color.
That's what I was going to pick.
Yeah, which, you know, I didn't really think much of it when me and Harrison had watched a couple episodes this weekend. But I didn't think much of it until I read this. I went, you know, he has a little mascara or something on.
Yeah.
But I didn't think about they wanted to make it like red. But
he has a bit of a green tint. in his,
he does.
In his makeup.
They give him a little bit of a green tint, especially around the eyes.
Right.
You know, and then, but they wanted to make it red originally, but they couldn't do that because it looked like when they were going to do the show in black and white, which I don't think they ever really did. You know,
in 66, a lot of TVs were still black and white.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. And it would make him look like he had blackface on. It's like, that would be not good.
No. Spock, also speaking of Spock, he originally wasn't supposed to eat or drink. Not only would he be red-faced, but he was originally planned to have like this metal plate in his abdomen that would feed off energy that struck this special plate.
I like the sugar smacks, by the way.
that's what he wasn't eating.
That's right. Let's see. The other one was the bowling alley on the Enterprise.
The bowling alley. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that was, you know, they designed the ship just so, I guess, when they're working with the script, they kind of know where people would be in the ship, you know, in relation to the story and whatnot. So they, right above the, I guess, where the shuttle bays are, there's a bowling alley. Regulation, I might add.
It looks like they're in the back of the engine nacelles or something.
Well, I was thinking of the main body, you know, the lower part.
Yep.
Not the nacelle exactly, but because there's a, it says basic foods and beverages, and then there's a food preparation center / bowling alley, and there's a whole regulation bowling alley. I don't know if you can see it in the camera, but yeah, it's where my mouse is at right there.
I was watching a show on Norwegian Cruise Lines the other night, and they have bowling alleys on cruise ships, and I thought, if you were rocking at sea, wouldn't your ball kind of sway as it went down? That would be really wicked.
Yeah, that would be really wicked. The last thing I thought was funny, and I'm surprised I never seen a reference to this, nor saw it myself, was Star Trek actually used a lot of the sets from Mayberry.
I didn't know that either, but now that you say it, it's like they were so cheap they had to use the Andy Griffith Show sets a couple of times in Miri and City on the Edge of Forever. And I thought, of course. And there's a picture of Kirk walking with Edith Keeler past Floyd's barber shop.
Let me see if I can pull this up real quick.
I'm going to have to look at that.
Yeah, I go, Floyd's Barbershop. That's pretty funny.
Here's my other two. The Federation may be socialist utopia but of sorts, but Starfleet uniforms didn't exactly come out of a replicator. According to producers Robert Justman and Herb Solow, the show's budget was so tiny they couldn't afford to have costumes made by union costume makers. Instead, they had them made overnight by a sweatshop, sneaked the finished costumes through a black window in the studio. Wow.
That's funny.
So they must have got them from Walmart, with the sweatshops Walmart in China. And the other one of my favorites, Shatner never watched Star Trek. He's just so awesome that he doesn't have to watch himself. No, actually, there's a quote in here that said, he added that he hated watching himself because he feels as though I suck. When he was directing himself and had to watch the footage afterwards, for example, in Star Trek V, he found it really uncomfortable. Kidding.
Hey, so did we.
I'm trying to withhold the profanity at this point.
We also felt it was uncomfortable.
What was his line in that movie? I need my mistakes or something?
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to tell Cybok that he needs his pain.
Oh, yeah.
It needs... It's what defines us.
Yeah, what was the... I don't remember. Yeah, but it was something weird like that. Speaking of mascara, I think they were all wearing some heavy mascara in that movie.
Oh, heck yeah. Stage makeup all over the place. And speaking of original series, if you haven't already listened, Craig put out our Misty version of Star Trek, the original series, This Side of Paradise. Yeah. The planet Omicron Seti or Seti or Omicron 3 or whatever you want to call it, as Clinton likes to point out.
They named that planet about 500 times. So I didn't actually catch that until y'all started riffing on it. And I went, oh, yeah. Yes.
Reminds me of the Powerpuff Girls. The city of Townsville. The Seti of Townsville. The pretty of Townsville. And they go on with other things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Have fun listening to that. Watch the video if you like. You can buy it on iTunes if you're so inclined as I
did. And in the show notes, I did put links to the iTunes, Netflix, and Amazon links.
There you go. Or if you've got it on VHS like I used to, just pop it in and listen to our Smart Aleck comments and make your own if you're so inclined.
Hey, it is a little bit of a trick to get it to line up, but we do leave a little space and then the music starts. And
yeah, we say, here we go, so you'll get it darn close.
Yeah, I started to put a beep or something in there, but...
Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, well. Start your VCR when you hear the beep.
Yeah. Turn the page when you hear the beep.
It's probably syndicated somewhere, so next time it comes around in your DVR, record it and just put it on mute and have some fun. If you really want to be all Mystery Science Theater, get some of those paper cutout shadows and put them on your TV, and we'll be there for you. Just put an extra one in for, you know, pretend Julie's Crow-T robot and Clinton is Tom Sorbo, and we're good.
Yeah, just imagine them as silhouettes.
I saw a Dragon Con, a lady dressed up as Crow. I saw a man carrying Tom Servo robot, and we saw the guy with the shadows. He was dressed up as the shadows from.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, he was carrying him around like
that was funny.
Part of his hat or something. You know, kind of. It was kind of funny.
And hey, he was Joel in the middle.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, I was talking with my dad, and he was telling me about how much my grandfather liked Star Trek back in the day, and then so. He watched it a lot, and then my mom and her family watched it a lot. When my dad was in Vietnam, of course, they didn't have TV, or at least the current shows, when he was there. So when he came back, he's like, oh, what's the Star Trek thing? And he ended up watching it. My mom had to sit through them all again. So he said, so when you were young, it was probably on all the time somewhere in the family. So I came about my Star Trek... Yeah, honestly.
We came across some movie posters that on removieposters.tumblr.com, where they remove one letter or change one letter, and it totally changes the name of the movie and the meaning. We have Ape Fear, Love, Hate, Primate.
Hey, let me do the next one. Jurassic Ark.
Noah allows dinosaurs on the Ark. With terrifying results.
I imagine so.
Dawn of
the two of everything.
Dawn of the Dad. With every mother on Earth or now dad, it's time for the dads to rise.
There you go. Ill Bill.
That guy even into a toilet. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, that's funny.
Rise of the Plane of the Apes. There's a chimp making paper airplanes.
Actually, I showed these to Harrison, and he started laughing. Big
these
time.
Are pretty good.
Yeah. Seven Ears in Tibet.
Harry Otter and the Order of the Phoenix. Harry is served with a restraining order from a very... What?
From a very fiery bird.
Very fiery, a restraining order.
Yeah. Here you go. The men who stare at oats.
It's got seven guys
who
stare.
Truth is stranger than fiction, and you need a good breakfast.
Staring at this bag of oats.
You know what's funny? Harrison does not know the original movies of any of it, except for Harry Potter. But he's like, he just thought men who stare at oats and just started laughing.
Well, you tell him the real one, and it's just as bad.
I know. Well, I did, and he was like, what?
Why would they stare at goats? That doesn't make any sense.
They were hungry, Harrison.
So, unfortunately, we don't have any video footage from Dragon Con. You know, that's always a nice bonus, and we'll get the audio out to you at some point, but it was a very visual show, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So you may not, may not
we'll
get it.
We'll figure out something. Well, I guess maybe we can put the audio with the slides or something.
Sure, we'll go with that. And during the show, we had this thing called Caption This, where we put up some images, typically from like aircraft safety or other icons that you'd run into while you're traveling. Because I run into these all the time, and I try to think, okay, I know this seat is reserved for the elderly, but what else could this icon mean? Well, apparently... This idea has already been taken. My caption, this is already taken at a site called explainthisimage.com. And there is some weird, scary stuff. I'm going to leave it at that, going on out there. And if you look
actually, I'm surprised that I Can't Has Cheeseburger didn't do something like this.
Oh, absolutely. I checked for caption or captionthis.com. The domain is taken. There's a picture of Darth Vader about ankle deep in ocean water, pouring out of a Brita filter into a water jug, and the caption is, "Oh, that's just Darth Vader." It's just there's a guy standing in front of. He's in a suit with a bow tie, dark suit, tuxedo. There's a UPS truck in the ditch. The cops are standing on the sidewalk talking to the UPS guy, and he's in the foreground holding a mini sewing machine. And the caption is, "I'm telling you, officers, a guy with a tux and a sewing machine told me it was all right to park here." And I just, there's some weird pictures that you go, what could be happening?
There's some I don't want to talk about on the show.
There are many that I don't want to talk about on the show. They are not quite safe for work, especially the Japanese ones, or the guy standing in the snow in the Russia. I don't even want to know what the images were. I do like this the one that's more like Drew Barrymore in Firestarter with the little girl looking at you at the house on fire. They'll give me cookies next time.
Yeah. This one kid's sitting there jamming on a guitar, and it looks like two women are running into the room, and then there's a man in the background with his pants coming down. What is going on?
And the caption is, "That's it. I'm taking off my pants."
Oh, and we descend into darkness.
That's not right. Not right at all. So, unfortunately, I may still do something about travel icons like captionthisicon.com or whatever.
Well, you said you're going to the UK. I hope you're traveling by plane.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I'll see some dandies because usually other countries have really good icons. I saw some great stuff in Belize, and I think I have some of those pictures that I'll post. So, yeah, this may have to be one of those Tumblr sites that just needs to get off the ground.
Yeah. All right, do you have my little clip?
I do have your little clip, but you don't have anything to rant about, right?
No, it's not ranting. Never mind.
Don't make me angry.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Okay, never mind then never mind. All right, so I took Harrison to go see Raiders of the Lost Ark and IMAX Saturday.
Now,
But it's not the first time he's seen the movie, of course. We've seen it several times at the house. But I want to say the picture quality was fantastic in a lot of things. And some scenes there was like this kind of weird blurring and I'm not sure where that came from. Like when they first walk into the tunnel, to go towards the first idol and right about the time
American Idol,
about the time they're going to knock the tarantulas off their backs.
Right.
There's like this kind of weird, it's hard to explain, but I know I can't be the only one that's seen it because Krishna from PC Winnie's, he actually did a write-up and said the same thing. So then I was like, yeah, there was that kind of weird, it was almost like out of focus kind of look a little bit to it, but more pixelated. It's kind of strange, but I digress. As far as the quality, it was really nice. A lot of the things were really clear. Harrison even spotted the hieroglyphic R2-D2 and C-3PO in the Well of Souls.
I never saw that.
Really?
I have to look for that. I've never seen that. Is that an Easter egg they put in?
Yes, it is. It's not that it's been there. It's been there since the beginning.
Wow.
But if you, all right, you know when Solomon and Harrison, or Indy, excuse me, walk up to and go on either side of the sarcophagus, whatever, that's holding the ark?
Yeah.
Well, right over Indy's right shoulder, there's a small pillar. Mm-hmm. And on that pillar, on the inside, you'll see it has a picture of R2 and C-3PO. Like, C-3PO's got his hand on top of R2's head. But it's
I
hard to tell.
I think somebody mentioned that. Now that you mentioned that, I do remember somebody pointing that out. But I never had a chance to go back and look for it.
If you Google it, you'll find it. And it looks like, R2's got his... Hit the top of his head is like a D shape almost, so it looks like a hieroglyphic. Anyway, we were able to see that really clear.
Cool.
Yeah. The quality was great, especially when they pull the arc out. It's nice and vibrant. It's like, wow, this is really great. I do want to say, now I know I've seen the movie a million times, but in the theater when
I forget the Oriental guy that was working with the Nazis. Anyway, he takes the hanger out, and it looks like he's got nunchucks or something.
Yeah.
And he does it. I remember thinking while I was watching it in the movie, I was like, okay, this isn't nearly as menacing as it was the first time I saw that. You know, because you know. Because remember the first time you watch it, you're like, what's he got? And then you see Marion and Belloc, they're looking at him like, you know, they're kind of scared too. And you're like, what's he going to do? And then he folds it and it's just not as menacing.
You know what I saw this week was some of the unshown scenes from like the marketplace. You know, the classic scene is the guy takes his big sword and he shoots him. That's not how it was originally supposed to go. It was supposed to be the guy has a sword and then he's cracking his whip and he backs up and he's cracking his whip and he backs up some more and he gets trapped against the baskets on the wall. And it's like, nah, you know, it comes across much better. Like, I don't have time for this. Bang.
Yeah. Well, you didn't have time for that. You know why? Did you read why?
No.
And I don't know if they mentioned it in the article that you're talking about, but what I read a while back was that Harrison Ford had gone against conventional wisdom and not eaten the local food. He actually did eat the local food.
Yeah.
So he had diarrhea really bad that day. And that was the day they had the guy on the set to do the scene. Well, they got Harrison Ford stabilized enough to come on the set. And so they truncated that whole elaborate fight scene to just a, because that's all they had time to do. That's why he was still sweating and everything, because he has terrible diarrhea.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
When nature calls, you must answer.
And we're not gonna go down that path right now. What we are gonna do is we're gonna talk about a new Monopoly, new version of Monopoly. This is the Alan Turing version. This is just geeky enough I might actually have to get it.
And it's real, isn't it? It's a real product?
Yes. When cryptanalyst and computer scientist Alan Turing worked for the government code and cipher school at Bletchley Park, he would play Monopoly on a board hand-drawn by William Newman, the teenage son of his mentor, Max. In honor of Turing's fondness for the game of capitalism, Bletchley Park is launching a special edition Monopoly board based on Alan Turing and his life. Now, you look at some of these places on the board, and, you know, it kind of makes sense. It's kind of fun. Cross-country running, Barry Gold bullion. These must be places he's been. Of course, jail is the same as jail. Free parking is the same as free parking. Go to jail. But there are other things that I'm sure everybody will recognize, and I'm trying to read some of these upside down because the board is rotated. Enigma machine.
Yeah. There's the Bletchley Park train station.
Yeah. Bletchley Park garage. So the fast dealing property trading game. War tax instead of income tax. So that this is pretty creative. I don't know how you get it.
I'm
going to
say that I mean, I know about Alan Turing. I don't know about him. You know what I mean? I didn't know all this. I have no idea what some of these things are. So it made me kind of think, maybe I should check it out because it sounds more interesting than I thought it would be in the past. I don't know.
Oh, this is interesting. There's a sketch of the hand-drawn one on the same site.
Yeah.
So a lot of these are taken from that one, Castle Street.
And it's actually got a row going across the middle, though.
They didn't have no spaces on his board. He's like, I need more spaces!
Yeah. So, yeah, actually this got me interested in finding out more about him because obviously I don't know enough. Based on some of the things on the board. So, I'd be interested in
picking
it up. There's
a comment that says, well, to be accurate, it's just a segment of his life at Bletchley, right? There is nothing about his court-enforced hormone therapy or tragic death, right?
Mm-hmm.
Such a terrible fate for a man who did as least as much for the Manhattan Project, which is nuclear weapons, you know, the atomic bomb project, or the Rad Lab, which was radar, in ending World War II quickly for the U.S.,
Yeah. So yeah, there's so much more about him. I want to find out. Is there an autobiography about him?
Probably somewhere. You know that that's a good question. We'll have to look that up and find out. If you want to know more, don't listen to this show. We make up stuff.
We just ask the questions.
And we do ask questions. One of the questions we ask is about astronomy picture of the day. I did an interview on Memorial Day, September 4th, with Dr. Robert Nemiroff up at Michigan Tech University. He's one of the two people that put that together. And as popular as that site is, it's still pretty primitive behind the scenes, and we'll talk more about that. So I'll have that interview out shortly, so look forward to that. And we've got another interview coming up. So we're back in the game, people, with doing interviews, and we've got lots and lots of comedic sketches in the pipeline, in our heads, on paper. So Technorama is going to be kicking it back the way we were a few years ago. So if you loved it then, you're going to love it now. If not,
instead of just us kicking back
or kicking your ears.
We're kicking on the ear.
That's going to take care of us for this show. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call listener line at 206-222-2428. That's 206-222-CHAT. Otherwise, you can find a whole bunch of more information about the email address, where we are on Twitter, Facebook page. Don't forget to watch the Facebook page, Google Plus, all that good stuff. Links in the show notes, links on the website, links, 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 links. It's like a golf game around here. We want to thank
links.
All the people like Mad Mar for providing the great blog content during the week. And everyone who sent us.
This is your captain speaking.
That ain't the right song.
Wrong one.
He's not supposed to be talking. I knew it started with a guitar riff. Okay. All those great people who sent us links during the week. We couldn't get them all quite in the show. We do enjoy those. Please keep sending those to technorama@chuckchat.com, and we will get to those. We read every one of your emails.
If you haven't sent any in, just act like you did and send them to us again.
technorama@chuckchat.com. Easy to do. Thanks to those who joined us on the Google Plus Hangout on this week. We appreciate that. I know people have come and gone as we've been talking. And thank you for downloading and listening to this podcast. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with all the great podcasts over at farpointmedia.com. Go over there and check them out. There's got to be something there you like. Trust us. We know. We work with those people.
Yeah, right.
Until next time, give us a binary high five.
101.
Don't do the dancing, please.